Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Priest embracing Islam. Prepared by Abu Karim al-Marakishi. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Priest embracing Islam. Contents. I will be recording for you this book. The contents has got 12 stories of priests who embraced Islam. One, Chaplain Yusuf Estes, ex-Christian businessman and preacher. USA. My name is Yusuf Estes now, but in years past my friends used to call me Skip. I have preached Christianity and worked in the entertainment and music industry since I was a boy in the 1950s. My father and I have established music stores, TV and radio programs, and outdoor entertainment for fun and profit. I was a music minister and even used a pony ride and entertained the children as Skippy the Clown. Once I have served as delegate to the United Nations Peace Conference for Religious Leaders. Now I am retired former Muslim Chaplain for United States Bureau of Prisons, Washington, D.C. And I join alongside many American Muslims working with Muslim student and youth organizations, as well as schools for Muslim children. As such, I travel around the entire world lecturing and sharing the message of the Christ of the Quran in Islam. We hold dialogues and discussion groups with all faiths and enjoy the opportunity to work alongside rabbis, ministers, preachers, and priests everywhere. Some of our work is in the institutional area, military, universities, and prisons. Primarily, our goal is to educate and communicate the correct message of Islam and who the Muslims really are. Although Islam has grown now to nearly tie Christianity, as the largest of religions on earth, we see many of those who claim Islam as Muslims that do not correctly understand nor properly represent the message of peace, surrender, and obedience to God. Arabic Islam. How it happened. This may seem quite strange, while we perhaps may share a few different perspectives and concepts of God, Jesus, prophethood, sin, and salvation. But you see, at one time I was in the same boat as many folks are today. Really. Let me explain this more. I was born into a very strong Christian family in the Midwest. Our family and their ancestors not only built the churches and schools across this land, but actually were the same ones who came here in the first place. While I was still in elementary, we relocated in Houston, Texas in 1949. I'm old. We attended church regularly, and I was baptized at the age of 12 in Pasadena, Texas. As a teenager, I wanted to visit other churches to learn more of their teachings and beliefs. The Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalians, Charismatic Movements, Nazarene, Church of Christ, Church of God in Christ, Full Gospel, Agape, Catholic, Presbyterian, and many more. I developed quite a thirst for the gospel, or as we say, good news. My research into religion did not stop with Christianity, not at all. Hinduism, Judaism, Buddhism, metaphysics, Native American beliefs were all a part of my studies. Just about the only one that I did not look into seriously was Islam. Why? Good question. Music minister. Anyway, I became very interested in different types of music, especially gospel and classical, because my whole family was religious and musical. It followed that I too would begin my studies in both areas. All this set me for the logical position of a music minister in many of the churches that I became affiliated with over the years. I started teaching keyboard instruments in 1960, and by 1963 owned my own studios in Laurel, Maryland, called Estes Music Studios. Business projects in Texas, Oklahoma, and Florida. Over the next 30 years, my father and I worked together in many business projects. We had entertainment programs, shows, and attractions. We opened piano and organ stores all the way from Texas and Oklahoma to Florida. We had earned millions of dollars during those years, but could not find the peace of mind that can only come through knowing the truth and finding the real plan of salvation. I'm sure you have asked yourself the question, why did God create me? Or what is it that God wants me to do? Or exactly who is God anyway? Why do we believe in original sin? And why would the sons of Adam be forced to accept his sins and then, as a result, be punished forever? But if you asked anyone these questions, they would probably tell you that you have to believe without asking, or that it is a mystery and you shouldn't ask. Just have faith, brother. Just have faith, brother. Trinity concept. Strangely enough, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, and it has been a concern for religious scholars as early as 200 years after Jesus was raised up by Almighty God. I would ask preachers or ministers to give me some sort of an idea how one could figure out to become three, or how God himself, who can do anything he wants to do, cannot just forgive people's sins, but rather had to become a man, come down on earth, be human, and then take on the sins of all people, keeping in mind that all along he is still God of the whole universe and does as he wills to do, both in and outside of the universe as we know it. I'll repeat that. Strangely enough, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, and it has been a concern for religious scholars as early as 200 years after Jesus was raised up by Almighty God. I would ask preachers or ministers to give me some sort of an idea how one could figure out to become three, or how God himself, who can do anything he wills to do, cannot just forgive people's sins, but rather had to become a man, come down on earth, be human, and then take on the sins of all people, keeping in mind that all along he is still God of the whole universe and does as he wills to do, both in and outside of the universe as we know it. They never seemed to be able to come up with anything other than opinions or strange analogies. Father ordained non-denominational minister. My father was very active in supporting church work, especially church school programs. He became an ordained minister in the 1970s. He and his wife, my stepmother, knew many of the TV evangelists and preachers, and even visited Oral Roberts and helped in the building of the prayer tower in Tulsa. Okay? They also were strong supporters of Jimmy Swaggart, Jim and Tammy Face Baker, Jerry Falwell, John Hagee, and Pat Robertson. Met a man from Egypt. It was early in 1991 when my father began doing business with a man from Egypt and told me that he wanted me to meet him. This idea appealed to me when I thought about the idea of having an international flavor. You know, the pyramids, Sphinx, Nile River, and all that. He was a Muslim. Hijackers, kidnappers, bombers, terrorists, and who knows what else. Then my father mentioned that this man was a Muslim or Muslim. First, I hated the idea of meeting an infidel, hijacker, kidnapper, bomber, terrorist, non-believer. Any normal person would be repulsed at the idea. I couldn't believe my ears. A Muslim or a Muslim? No way. I reminded my dad of the various different things that we had heard about these people or those people. Lies against Muslims and Islam. They told us Muslims don't even believe in God. They told us Muslims, they worship a black box in the desert. They told us Muslims, and they kiss the ground 5 times a day. No way. I did not want to meet him. No way I did not want to meet him to that extent. I did not want to meet this Muslim man. No way. My father insisted that I meet him and reassured me that he was a very nice person. This was too much for me, especially since the evangelists that we used to travel around with all hated Muslims and Islam very much. They even said things that were not true to make people afraid of Islam. So, why would I want anything to do with these people? Idea, change him to Christian. Then an idea came to me. We can change this man to Christian. So I gave in and agreed to the meeting, but on my terms. Met him with a Bible, cross and cap, with Jesus as Lord on it. I agreed to meet him on Sunday after church so we would be all prayed up and in good standing with the Lord. I would be carrying my Bible under my arm as usual. I would have my big shiny cross dangling, and I would have on my cap which says Jesus is Lord right across the front. My wife and two young daughters came along, and we were ready for our first encounter with the Muslims. Where is he? When I came into the shop and asked my father where the Muslim was, he pointed and said, he is right over there. I was confused. That couldn't be the Muslim. No way. Turban and beard. I'm looking for a huge man with flowing robes, a big turban on his head, a beard halfway down his shirt, and eyebrows that go all the way across his forehead with a sword or a bomb under his coat. No turban, no beard, no hair at all. This man had no beard. In fact, he didn't even have any hair on his head at all. He was nearly bald. Best of all, he was very pleasant with a warm welcome and handshake. This didn't make sense. I thought there are terrorists and bombers. What is this all about? He needs Jesus. Never mind. I'll get right to work on this guy. He needs to be saved in the name of Jesus and me. And the Lord are going to do it. In the name of Jesus and me. And the Lord are going to do it. Introduction and interrogation after a quick introduction. I asked him, do you believe in God? He said, yes. Good. Then I said, do you believe in Adam and Eve? He said, yes. Oh, very good. I said, what about Abraham? What about Abraham? You believe in him and how he tried to sacrifice his son for God? He said, yes, even better. Then I asked, what about Moses, Ten Commandments, parting the Red Sea? Again, he said, yes, better still. Then, what about the other prophets, David, Solomon, and John the Baptist? He said, yes, great. I asked, do you believe in the Bible? Again, he said, yes. Okay. So now it was time for the big question. Do you believe in Jesus, that he was the Messiah, Christ of God? Again, he said, yes. Fantastic. Well, now this was going to be easier than I had thought. He was just about ready to be baptized, only he didn't know it. Only he didn't know it. And I was just the one to do it too. Shocking knowledge. Muslims believe in the Bible. One day in the spring of 1991, I came to know that the Muslims believed in the Bible. I was shocked. How could this be? But that's not all. They believe in Jesus as a true messenger of God, prophet of God, miracle birth without human intervention. He was the Christ or Messiah as predicted in the Bible. He is with God now, and most important, he will be coming back in the last days to lead the believers against Antichrist. After winning the souls to the Lord for Jesus, day after Jesus, this would be a big achievement for me to catch one of these Muslims and convert him to Christianity. I asked him if he liked tea, and he said he did. So off we went to a little shop in the mall to sit and talk about my favorite subject, beliefs. While we sat in that little coffee shop for hours talking, I did most of the talking, I came to know that he was very nice, quiet, and even a bit shy. He listened attentively to every word that I had to say and did not interrupt even one time. I liked this man's way and thought that he had definite potential to become a good Christian. Little did I know the course of events about to unravel in front of my eyes. First of all, I agreed with my father that we should do business with this man and even encouraged the idea of him traveling along with me on my business trips across the northern part of Texas. Day after day, we would ride together and discuss various issues pertaining to different beliefs that people have. And along the way, I could, of course, interject some of my favorite radio programs of worship and praise to help bring the message to this poor individual. We talked about the concept of God, the meaning of life, the purpose of creation, the prophets and their mission, and how God reveals his will to mankind. We also shared a lot of personal experiences and ideas as well. One day I came to know that my friend Muhammad was going to move out of the home he have been sharing with a friend of his and was going to be living in the mosque for a time. I went to my dad and asked him if we could invite Muhammad to come out to our big home in the country and stay there with us. After all, he could share some of the work and some expenses, and he would be right there when we were ready to go out traveling around. My father agreed and Muhammad moved in. Of course, I still would find time to visit my fellow preachers and evangelists around the state of Texas. One of them lived on the Texas-Mexico border and another lived near near and another lived near Oklahoma border. One preacher liked to a huge wooden cross. One preacher liked to a huge wooden cross that was bigger than a car. He would carry it over his shoulder and drag the bottom on the ground and go down the road or freeway, hauling these two beams formed in the shape of a cross. He would carry it over his shoulder and drag the bottom on the ground and go down the road or freeway, hauling these two beams formed in the shape of a cross. People would stop their cars and come over to him and ask him what was going on, and he would give them pamphlets and booklets on Christianity. One day, my friend with the cross had a heart attack and had to go to the veterans' hospitals, where he stayed for quite a long while. I used to visit him in the hospital several times a week, and I would take Muhammad with me with the hopes that we could all share together in the subject of beliefs and religions. My friend was not very impressed, and it was obvious that he did not want to know anything about Islam. Then one day, a man who was sharing the room with my friend came rolling into the room in his wheelchair. I went to him and asked him his name, and he said that it didn't matter. And when I asked him where he was from, he said he was from the planet Jupiter. I thought about what he said and then began to wonder if I was in the cardiac ward or the mental ward. I knew the man was lonely and depressed and needed someone in his life. So I began to witness to him about the Lord. I read to him out of the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. And the idea was that we cannot really run away from our problems because we always know what we have done. And what is more, God also always knows what we have done. Catholic priest. After sharing the story with the man in the wheelchair, he looked up and looked up at me and apologized. He told me he was sorry for his rude behavior and that he had experienced some real serious problems recently. Then he said that he wanted to confess something to me. And I said that I was not a Catholic priest and I do not handle confessions. He replied back to me that he knew that. In fact, he said, "I am a Catholic priest." I was shocked. Here I had been trying to preach Christianity to a priest. What in the world was happening here? Priest in Latin America. The priest began to share his story of being a missionary for the church for over 12 years to South and Central America and Mexico, and even in New York, in New York's Hell's Kitchen. When he was released from the hospital, he needed a place to go to recover, and rather than let him go to stay with a Catholic family, I told my dad that we would invite him to come out and live with us in the country along with our families and Muhammad. It was agreed by all that he would do so. He moved out right away. Priest must study Islam. Yes. Priest must study Islam. Yes. During the trip out to our home, I talked with the priest about some of the concepts of beliefs in Islam, and to my surprise, he agreed and then shared even more about this with me. I was shocked when he told me that Catholic priests actually study Islam, and some even carry doctor's degrees in this subject. This was all very enlightening to me. But there was still a lot more to come. Different versions of the Bible. After settling in, we all began to gather around the kitchen table after dinner every night to discuss religion. My father would bring his King James Version of the Bible. I would bring out my Revised Standard Version of the Bible. My wife had another version of the Bible, maybe something like Jimmy Swaggart's Good News for Modern Man. The priest, of course, had the Catholic Bible, which has 7 more books in it than the Protestant Bible. So we spent more time talking about which Bible was the right one or the most correct one than we did trying to convince Muhammad about becoming a Christian. Quran has only one version in Arabic and still exists. At one point, I recall asking him about the Quran. And how many versions of it there were in the last 1,400 years. He told me that there was only one Quran and that it had never been changed. Yet, he let me know that the Quran had been memorized by hundreds of thousands of people and its entirety, and were scattered about the earth in many different countries. Over the centuries since the Quran was revealed, millions have memorized it completely and have taught it to others who have memorized it completely from cover to cover, letter perfect without mistakes. Today, over 9 million Muslims have memorized the entire Quran from cover to cover. This did not seem possible to me. After all, the original languages of the Bible have all been dead languages for centuries, and the documents themselves have been lost in their originals for hundreds and thousands of years. So, how could it be that something like this could be so easy to preserve and to recite from cover to cover? Anyway, one day the priest asked Muhammad if he might accompany him to the mosque to see what it was like there. They came back talking about their experience there, and we could not wait to ask the priest what it was like and what all types of ceremonies they performed. He said they didn't really do anything. They just came and prayed and left. I said, they left without any speeches or singing? He said, that was right. Priest enters Islam. A few more days went by, and the Catholic priest asked Muhammad if he might join him again for a trip to the mosque, which they did. But this time, it was different. They did not come back for a very long time. It became dark and we worried that something might have happened to them. Finally, they arrived, and when they came in the door, I immediately recognized Muhammad. But who was this alongside of him? Someone wearing a white robe and a white cap. Hold on a minute. It was the priest. I said to him, Pete, did you become a Muslim? He said that he had entered into Islam that very day. The priest became a Muslim. What next? You'll see. My wife announces her Islam. So I went upstairs to think things over a bit and began to talk to my wife about the whole subject. She then told me that she too was going to enter into Islam because she knew it was the truth. I was really shocked now. I went downstairs and woke up Muhammad and asked him to come outside with me for a discussion. We walked and talked that whole night through. Truth had come. By the time he was ready to pray Fajr, the morning prayer of the Muslims, I knew that the truth had come at last, and now it was up to me to do my part. I went out back behind my father's house and found an old piece of plywood lying under an overhang, and right there I put my head down on the ground facing the direction that the Muslims pray 5 times a day. Guide me, O God. Guide me, O God. Now then, in that position, with my body stretched out on the plywood and my head on the ground, I asked, O God, if you are there, guide me. And then after a while, I raised my head and I noticed something. No, I didn't see birds or angels coming out of the sky, nor did I hear voices or music, nor did I see bright lights and flashes. What I did notice was a change inside of me. I was aware now, more than ever before, that it was time for me to stop any lying and doing anything sneaky. It was time that I really work at being an honest and upright man. I knew now what I had to do. So I went upstairs and took a shower with the distinct idea that I was washing away the sinful old person, the sinful old person that I had become over the years. And I was now coming into a new, fresh life, a life based on truth and proof. Around 11 a.m. that morning, I stood before two witnesses. One, the ex-priest, formerly known as Father Peter Jacobs, and the other, Muhammad Abdul Rahman, and announced my shahada, open testimony to the oneness of God and the prophethood of Muhammad, peace be upon him, which says, I bear witness, there is no deity to worship except Almighty Allah alone, and he has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger and servant. A few minutes later, my wife followed along and gave the same testimony, but hers was in front of three witnesses, me being the third. My father was a bit more reserved on the subject and waited a few more months before he made his shahada, public testimony, but he did finally commit to Islam and began offering prayers right along with me and the other Muslims in the local masjid, mosque. The children were taken out of Christian school and placed in Muslim schools, and now, 10 years later, they are memorizing much of the Quran and the teachings of Islam. My father's wife finally acknowledged before she died that Jesus could not be a son of God and that he must have been a mighty prophet of God, but not God. She passed away within a few months of this statement at age 86. May Allah accept her statement of faith. Ameen. Now stop and think. A whole entire household of people from varying backgrounds and ethnic groups coming together in a truth to learn how to know and worship the creator and sustainer of the universe. Think, a Catholic priest, a minister of music and a preacher of the gospel, an ordained minister and builder of Christian schools, and the children, even a great grandmother, they all come into Islam. Only by his mercy were we all guided to see the real truth of Islam. By removing the coverings over our ears and the blinders on our eyes, no longer having seals over our hearts, he was guiding us now. Amazing story, family and friends entering Islam from one man. If I were to stop right here, I'm sure that you would have to admit that at least this is an amazing story, right? After all, three religious leaders of three separate denominations all going into one very opposite belief at the same time, and then soon after the rest of the household. More, yes, Baptist seminary student reads Quran, accepts Islam. But that is not all. There is more. The same year, while I was in a Grand Prairie, Texas, near Dallas, I met a Baptist seminary student from Tennessee named Joe, who also came to Islam after reading the Holy Quran while in Baptist Seminary College. More, yes, Catholic priest loves Islam but needs his job. There are others as well. I recall the case of the Catholic priest in a college town who talked about the good things in Islam so much that I was forced to ask him why he didn't enter Islam. He replied, "What? And lose my job?" His name is Father John, and we still pray for Allah to guide him. Another Catholic priest makes shahada. The very next year, I met a former Catholic priest who had been a missionary for 8 years in Africa. He learned about Islam while he was there and entered into Islam. He then changed his name to Umar and moved to Dallas, Texas. Anymore? Again, yes. Orthodox Archbishop leaves church for Islam. 2 years later, while in San Antonio, Texas, I was introduced to a former archbishop of the Orthodox Church of Russia who learned about Islam and gave up his position to enter Islam. Daughter of Hindu pundit, religious leader, accepts Islam, helping thousands to Islam. I met a woman in New York who wanted to make our CDs about what is Islam. After giving her permission several years ago, I have learned she has produced and distributed over 600,000 of these to the non-Muslims in America. May Allah reward her and keep her strong in her efforts. Ameen. Hundreds, thousands still coming. And since my own entrance into Islam and becoming a chaplain to the Muslims throughout the country and around the world, I have encountered many more individuals who were leaders, teachers, and scholars in other religions who learned about Islam and entered into it. They came from Hindus, Jews, Catholics, Protestants, Jehovah's Witnesses, Greek and Russian Orthodox, Coptic Christians from Egypt, non-denominational churches, and even scientists who had been atheists. The combination always seems to be the same. People are sincerely seeking the truth and are willing to put their different prejudices and biases out of their minds and begin to ask God for His guidance in their lives. So, now you have the introduction to the story of my coming into Islam and becoming Muslim. There is more on the internet about this story, and there are more pictures there as well. Please take the time to visit it, and then please take the time to email me, and let us come together to share in all truths based on proofs for understanding our origins and our purpose and goals in this life and the next life. May I suggest to the seeker of truth to do the following 9 steps to purification of the heart. May I suggest to the seeker of truth do the following 9 steps to purification of the heart. 1. Clean your mind, your heart and soul. Remove all prejudices and biases. 2. Thank God for what you have every moment of every day. 3. Read a good translation of the meaning of the Noble Quran in a language that they can understand best. You may visit islamtomorrow.com. http://islamtomorrow.com/downloads/noblequran.exe. 4. Reflect on the meanings and consider the bounties of your Lord. 5. Seek forgiveness from God and learn to forgive others. 6. Ask in your heart for guidance from above. 7. Open your heart and mind. 8. Continue to do this up for a few months and be regular in it. 9. Avoid the poison of evil while your heart is opening for the rebirth of your soul. Remember, clean, thank, read, reflect. Clean, thank, read, reflect. Then seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given thee. Knock and it shall be opened. Again, remember, clean, thank, read, reflect. Then seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given thee. Knock and it shall be opened. Then continue and avoid. The rest is between you and the Almighty Lord of the universe. If you truly love Him, then He already knows it, and He will deal with each of us according to our hearts. Answers to questions. Now, as I promised, there are the answers to the questions many have asked me connected with my choice of Islam. One, how could you have trust? How could you have turned your back on the perfect plan of salvation of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins? How could you have turned your back on the perfect plan of salvation of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins? Answer, your question implies you have not considered the similarities and teachings of the Bible and the Quran. Islam means surrender, submit, and obey your Lord in sincerity and peace. Whoever is trying to do this is a Muslim. If someone believes in Almighty God as one God and one Lord and wants to commit their life to serving Him and obeying His commandments, then that person will be in the right way and they will be saved according to God's mercy. No one can take the sins of another, and the guilty must stand accused for what they have done. It will be up to Almighty God to forgive or punish according to His judgment on that day. According to the remains of the translations of the Bible, Jesus, peace be upon him, according to the remains of the translation of the Bible, Jesus, peace be upon him, did not preach a message of salvation by worshipping him. This was something added later by Saul, who later became Paul. We find clear statements indicating salvation would come only through acknowledging Almighty God as one God and worshipping him with all the heart, mind, and strength. Jesus, peace be upon him, taught his followers to worship my God and your God, my Lord and your Lord. Again, according to the remains of the English translation of the Bible, we see the one on the cross crying out a very blasphemous statement, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which being translated means, my God, my God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? This statement on the cross clearly indicates the one on the cross is not pleased with the situation, nor does he consider it right or just. Therefore, one would have to conclude this was not something Jesus approved of, nor did he accept, or else someone else was on the cross in his place. Either way you look at it, the one on the cross did not accept this as a plan of salvation. The Quran is absolutely in agreement with these teachings, and Muslims, do worship the same God and Lord, of Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and Adam. Peace be upon them all. The Quran states in many places, no one will be taken to task for the sins of another, nor can anyone carry the burden of another. We will all be on our own on that day. And I ask Allah to have mercy and forgiveness for all those who believe in Him. Ameen. I consider that I have not lived the teachings of Jesus Christ, peace be upon Him. On the contrary, I feel much closer to Jesus, peace be upon Him, and I look forward to His return on earth more than ever before. Now I am worshipping the same God He worships, and I serve the same Lord He serves in the very same way He does. Jesus prayed to Almighty God and taught his followers to do the same. I am simply doing what he commanded to the best of my ability and ask the Almighty God to accept it. 2. Do you consider you were really saved and that you had in fact been born again? Answer, the Baptists have a statement, once saved, always saved. I asked one of them about this and he agreed it was true. Then I mentioned, at one time, I had become a Baptist in my teen years, but now I was a Muslim. I had also been saved and baptized at the age of 12. I had accepted the very statement of Jesus being the way, the light, and the truth, and no man coming on to the Father except by Him. I understood these statements to mean I must follow Jesus and His teachings. Therefore, I read the Bible for myself and did not let others tell me what to think about what I was reading. The Bible states that Jesus prayed for salvation for himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, and this way, let this cup pass from me, let this cup pass from me, even so, thy will be done. This prayer was repeated by Jesus, peace be upon him, a number of times, and it is mentioned in more than one gospel. Yet, according to biblical accounts, the cup did not pass from him, and his prayers were not answered. Islam teaches us his prayers were answered, and he did not have to endure the cruel treatment and death on the cross, but rather he was taken up while still alive and is with the Almighty God even now and ready to return in the last days to bring victory to the believers. Additionally, we find Jesus, peace be upon him, teaching his disciples to pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Every Muslim I have met accepts every single word of this prayer, with the exception of calling Allah our Father. Muslims consider it better to call on Almighty God by his names, which we do consider to be hallowed. 3. How did your family respond to your conversion? Answer: This is always difficult for families to adjust to, and it usually takes time. My family was no exception. Although my wife's children entered into Islam, and eventually my father came to declare Islam to be the way of salvation for himself, still, my own mother and many others in my family resented our going to Islam at first. Eventually, things became more normalized, and we do stay in touch, although they are all still very much involved in Christianity. Allah promises to test those who declare their faith in him with many types of difficulties, and family is one of those mentioned as a test in the Quran. I do pray for them and ask Allah to guide them to the very best in this life and the very best in the next life. But it is up to Allah if he wants them to be in submission to him. Islam means submission to Allah. But it is up to Allah if he wants them to be in submission to him or not. 4. How about your congregation? What did they say? Answer: I never had my own church. I was a music minister in the Church of God, Anderson, Indiana branch in Texas, and did my preaching to businessmen and informal gatherings. Those who knew me for the most part did not object, and some even came to Islam. But there were a few who felt very upset and accused me of turning my back on Jesus, peace be upon him. No matter what I tried to say or do, these particular individuals would not listen, nor did they want to learn anything about Islam. 5. Did you experience a lot of difficulties in changing religions? Answer: Certainly anyone who wants to consider Islam in these times, just as in times gone by, will have to recognize there will be certain difficulties and tests along the way. The followers of Jesus, peace be upon him, were highly criticized, persecuted, even until death. Read what Paul said he used to do to them in the Bible, Book of Acts of the Apostles. Those who followed Muhammad, peace be upon him, suffered at the hands of their very own tribes. Yet they were determined to continue to worship the Almighty God alone, without partners, and submit to his will. The biggest problem with non-Muslims is their lack of understanding and lack of knowledge as to what Islam is really all about and who the Muslims are supposed to be. I pray for them all and ask Allah to forgive the Muslims for not showing a better picture to everyone. 6. Who was responsible for converting you? Answer: As Muslims, we believe that it is only Allah who guides the people, and whoever guides will not be misguided, and whoever he guides will not be misguided, and whomever he lets go astray, none will be able to guide them. As such, it means we do not believe anyone really can convert someone else. Also, we accept that all children are born in the natural state of submission to the Almighty God, and as such, that means they are Muslims. Should a child die, he or she would go to heaven, as they are not responsible for what they do not understand. 7. Don't you ever think about coming back to being a Christian? Answer, Christian indicates a follower of Christ. When Jesus, peace be upon him, returns to earth in the last days, all the Muslims will be obliged to follow him. But we would not call ourselves Christians any more than he would. He never called himself or his companions Christians. The Bible tells us that they were never even called Christians until Paul was preaching his message in Antioch. 8. Doesn't it bother you to have left the way of peace, justice, and love for a religion of hatred, violence, and oppression toward women and others? Answer, all the prophets, peace be upon them, all the prophets, peace be upon them all, called the people to worship the Almighty God as one God and one Lord. As such, those who did not want to submit to Almighty God would combat them and treat them with hostilities even unto death, as Paul had done while still being a Pharisee. The prophets, peace be upon them all, the prophets, peace be upon them all, did encourage their followers to live in peace and deal with people in justice, and certainly love is the highest form of emotion a human can have for another human being. Yet at the same time, believers have to defend themselves, their families, and the religion itself, lest those who are not believers should remove belief from the very face of the earth. Islam, like Christianity, preaches a message of peace and tolerance to a point, but when this is no longer possible without totally compromising and losing one's way of life and belief system, then there is no alternative except to engage in open combat against those who are combating against the believers. Jesus called upon his followers to sell their coats and buy swords. He explained that he did not come with peace, but rather a sword. He and his companions were engaged in mortal combat with their enemies, the Pharisees, when one of the priest's slaves had his ear cut by the sword. Jesus then told them to put down their swords. This is mentioned in the Bible. The word sword appears over 200 times in the Bible, but even though the Arabic language has more than a dozen words for sword, there is not a single occurrence of any of these words anywhere in the Quran. Combat is ordered in the Quran only under very specific and limited condition, and it is nothing more than what we would today call the war on terrorism. Fighting against all acts of organized aggression, oppression, persecution, and terrorism is an obligation on all believers. But it certainly has limits on women and children. Children, elderly, and any innocents are not to be killed or injured during such occasions. Treatment of prisoners is not to be humiliating or torture of any kind. Even the dead of the enemy are to be buried with dignity and respect. May Allah guide you and your May Allah guide you on your journey to all truth. Ameen. And may He open your heart and your mind to the reality of this world and the purpose of this life. Ameen. Peace to you and guidance from Allah, the One, Almighty God, Creator and Sustainer of all that exist. Your friend, Yusuf Estes, 6317 Edsall Road, Alexandria, Virginia, VA 22312, United States of America. Telephone number 001-703-354-5224. Email Sheikh Yusuf, SHEIKYUSUF@AOL.com. aol.com. Also, you may visit the sites for Sheikh Yusuf, www.islamtomorrow.com, or the truth, or sorry, the truereligion.org/modules, the truereligion.org/modules/XFS ECTION XF section slash. Again, the truereligion.org/modules/XF section/. You may visit these sites to get more information about Islam. This is Dr. Khalid Ibrahim Ad-Dosri reading this very exciting story for Sheikh, the chaplain Yusuf Istis, the ex-Christian businessman and a preacher, USA. Salam. Peace. Walhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah.